Open our Bibles tonight. We're going back into James. And I just think how sweet and precious and good the Lord is always to us. But grateful to God how He has so, I believe, just quickened my heart in this precious book like no other time in my life. And it should be that way. It should get sweeter all the time. It should get more magnificent. And, you know, I'm thankful to the Lord that He has me believing Him, that I'm not holding back by God's grace. That, brothers and sisters, I will say this again and again. There are no more truths. The truths are known. We're so thankful for these truths. But the exceeding abundant. Come on now. I want to see as much of it as I can. How about you? It just gets sweeter. It gets greater. It gets more overwhelming how much He loves us. And that's what this is about. And praise the Lord. You know, I equate it often when you fall in love with somebody. Did you just want one love letter? I wanted as many as I could get. I remember my dear wife, I'll tell you, when she took off after me finally, and I convinced her. See, she's gone. I can talk about her a little bit. But she'd write me many letters during the week. But, you know, they kind of slowed down a little bit after a while. And you want them. Aren't you thankful He never slows down? He's increasing us at an increasing rate. So it's all good. But brothers and sisters, even though we're in the fifth chapter here, and even though I know most of us thought we were going to wrap this up tonight, I'm going to tell you right now that we're at least going to need two more weeks to conclude this wonderful study here. And I was thinking how I'm sure some thought, well, here we go, James, you know, yawner, you know, kind of like that. And I guess we got to cover it because it's part of the Word of God, you know. But at least it'll be short, you know. Huh? Come on now. I know it wasn't you. But I just pray by the grace of God that we really have let Him take us deep in it. And I pray that we don't get stubborn in our old habits and want to just stay at the shoreline ankle deep. Launch out. Launch out. You do not know it all, nor do I know it all. There's more to see every day. And it's right here. It's in His Scripture. And I'm thankful to God that He continues to take me layer and layer and layer. And then I look and I say, oh, well, Lord, we just begun. He said, yep. But that's how He does it. And I pray that if you're just messing around ankle deep, you're going to miss some good stuff. And I just pray to God if you're going to satisfy for ankle deep, you pray it's not going to be the best part. So let's go deep by His grace. But last week we left off here in verse 11. And we left off in that 11th verse with enduring Job. And I hope we know that faith endures. True faith endures. It waits on the faithfulness of God. It's satisfied and it takes comfort in the promises of God. And Job, and I hope most of you know about that sweet, wonderful brother and the trial and trials that he went through. I mean, to take all of his children, all of the things that he had worked so hard for all of his life and built. And then his esteem, I mean, he was stripped of everything pretty much. But it says in this wonderful passage that he had patience. He waited on God. He waited for the tender mercy. And it came right on time, didn't it? Amen? Amen. And as this brother suffered all that time, and as those friends came and just basically accused him of everything you could imagine, he said, though he slay me, will I trust him. Praise be to God. And I think about that dear brother. And, you know, He didn't have all this scripture that we are so blessed to read about and to glory in. But by God's grace, he had the same faith. And that's a gift of God. Believe me. And God gave it. And thanks be to God, Job apprehended faith to believe and to wait. Because he knew it would come. He knew it would come. God cannot lie. And he knew that God would take that. He knew the tender mercies would come. And how he brought him that double portion. Praise the Lord. And you think the Lord even kept that wife? Isn't that something? And he must have loved her. I'm so thankful to God. But that was a hard time on her to see all that. You can see. But God is always right on time. And God's right on time, brothers and sisters, is often when he finally gets us to the end of self. Do you know that? It really is. See, I've often been quoting the same thing. God's got something for you to learn in every trial. And he'll retry you in that same trial until you learn it. And he will. The thing is, though, is if you don't learn it the first time, it will get more intense the second time and more intense the third time. He's a lover and he's patient. And he'll prune that as many times as necessary. And he does it in love. It's not in punishment. It's because he loves you. He dealeth with us as sons. He chastens us. Amen? You know it. You know it. And thank the Lord that we know that well, that's kind of how you know that he is real and he is alive. And he is that God, Father, is on the throne. Because I never get away with it. I don't, and you don't either. You're his child, praise the Lord. But that's the way that he brings us into the mother lode, brothers and sisters. It has to be that way. Because see, really, self has got to go if we are ever going to be led into the deep things of God. Faith must take the lead. And I love how the Word of God says it, faith in love. And if you really think about that faith in love, faith and true faith is in love with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? It is. Faith worketh by love. And when you're full of faith, when you really believe and trust the Lord, you're full of the love of God because you believe him. You believe he is your lover. You believe he's a loving father. You believe that he's a loving friend. And then by God's grace, you go deep and you know that he's a loving bridegroom waiting, anticipating. And that shout is coming. And I love it. I mean, I can see the visual. Praise God of his shout. I'm here. Hallelujah. Huh? Come away. Rise up. Praise God. It is that way. But this faith that is so in love with Jesus trusts the bridegroom completely. So now let's go ahead and read verse 12 and we'll pick it up. It says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not. Neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Now here we are, brothers and sisters, and we've been in this study, praise the Lord, for quite some time. And, you know, we're wrapping it up, and praise the Lord, he's wrapping it up here. And he's saying, above all, this is important stuff. We need to pay attention. And I'll tell you what he's telling you right now is he said, don't make deals with me. By God's grace, let's not make deals with God. I hear it all the time. God, if you do this, I'll do that. See, Job could have tried that. He could have said, God, if you just get me out of this, if you can just make it a little bit easier here, if we can just turn the tide. Nuh-uh. Because Job would have missed the glory in enduring. I appreciated when Brother Hawkins came up here and he gave that sweet study, or that sweet message upon that it had to be the perfect time. It can't be 30 seconds too soon and it won't be 30 seconds too late. It's got to be all of it. His time. Ripe fruit. And that's what he's waiting on. And praise the Lord, every one of those trials that we have a perfect timing in them. The way of escape has already been made. We know that. But by his grace, he wants us to receive that wondrous glory, that benefit of patiently waiting upon him. See, that's the reflection of the lover of his soul. Because as we read last week, he is patiently waiting for us. And he said, well, I'm ready. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Not yet. Not yet. There's still more glory being built in your life. I'm thankful to the Lord that I want to see him, but I know by God's grace, every moment he has me here, there's something truly for me to receive. There's more love to grow in my life. There's more trial. I understand that. But by God's grace, he's building that faith that will be there. He's prepared me for that day of testing. Amen? It doesn't catch us unawares. We are not ignorant of the devil's devices. He will not tempt us beyond what we're able. He knows us, doesn't he? He knows. And you could sit there, oh, brother, you just don't know. No, I know you don't know, but I know he knows. And I know it took Peter some time to finally get it. Lord, thou knowest. Praise be to God. Find that in your life by God's grace. Lord, you know. I'm just going to, by your grace, receive your grace, and I'm going to believe you that you know. I had grand expectations. I had big plans. But Lord, you know. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, I think we're getting somewhere. Hallelujah. But how often I've heard the testimony of, well, I told God I'd give him my life. I told him I'd be faithful if he would spare my life. Now, I understand that there's a king in the Bible that asked for that, and the Lord did grant that, and don't get me wrong, but he wasn't making a deal with God. It wasn't a deal. He was pleading with the Lord and asking if it would be thy will, Lord. There wasn't anything there but believing God and believing that he was faithful, believing that he is absolutely fully able, that nothing's hard for him. Amen? But it's not, Lord, it's because of something I'm doing, it's going to get something favor from you. Do you understand that that's an insult to God? It is. See, that's what grace is, that we need to truly apprehend, is that we are highly favored because of the blood of the Lamb. And when that really works effectually in us, then James's testimony will come alive. Faith with works. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not faith without works is dead. I understand that. But it will be faith with the evidence of works. It will come forth. Because I've apprehended the grace. I understand it. I believe you, Lord. You absolutely adore me. You love me. It's unconditional. It's everlasting. I can never be separated from the love of God. Not even I can do it. Thanks be to God. Because I could sure condemn myself to the nth degree. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, in that grace that we apprehend, in that love that we see is so magnificent, that's the working power that causes me to believe him and to believe him in all things. Amen. And to believe him throughout the Word of God. And that line upon line is built. But it's still the same way. It's all by grace. There's no merited favor from anything else. I've already got it. It's because of the life that came to live in me the moment I took Jesus Christ as my Savior. How simple, but how perfect, and how exact, and how magnificent. And how in that grace, I can understand how he can take the likes of me and by grace and grace alone having me ruling and reigning with him jointly in the midst of the throne. If you told me any other way that was going to happen, I'd say you're full of bunk. And you would be. But I can understand if it's his work, and this is very God of very God, nothing's hard for him. Amen? Amen. Okay, praise God. So now we know that, again, it is him. I remember Brother Hill in that sweet testimony. Many of you remembered when he had that skin and it kept coming off and he was just basically down to rawness. And it wasn't a miracle at all that he even lived. But as he sat there in that hospital and he was in such pain, he said, "Lord, I'm done. Either heal me or take me." And immediately the Lord just quickened his heart to say, "I am so sorry. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that." And I'm thankful to God because, you see, that's the condemnation. And see, it's not the condemnation that most want to think about, but it was the condemnation of verse 9, what we read last week. Let's go back there and read that verse. It's a sweet verse here. See, it says, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." See, that condemning there is not condemning out of heaven. It's condemning when the opening happens, when the first trumpet sounds, I'll be there. Do you see what I'm talking about here? See, brothers and sisters, we want that perfect communication with God to be willing to endure through the trial. You're in the most precious trial that you've ever had because this is the trial that's before you right now. Do you know that? And this is the most precious trial because this could be the trial that by God's grace you are overcoming in. And I pray that we are overcoming in this trial when the Lord appears. Praise the Lord. I don't want it to be the one that's defeating me in unbelief when that door opens. Now, I don't want you getting fearful and thinking, "Oh, am I, you know, I've been running so well, but right now I'm just so down." It's time to look up, isn't it? Isn't that a quickening in your heart? "Lord, why am I so discouraged with these events? Why am I distracted with these things when you told me to tend upon the things of the Lord without distraction? My heart grieves. There's many that I love so that don't come very much anymore. Don't even come anymore. Well, I don't need to go to church. I don't feel like I have to go to church anymore." You know, you don't have to do anything. But I'm going to tell you, you better really pay attention to this scripture and all the scriptures. She loves the gathering of the saints. Let me tell you something. She's enamored with all of Christ, his head and his body. He doesn't forsake the gathering of ourselves together. And he doesn't want us to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. And we come together because we love him and we love one another. Amen. It's the word of God, not out of duty, but out of love. But brothers and sisters, see, these ones that will be at that open door opportunity will be the Philadelphia saints there that you'll read about in Revelation 3:8. It said that he opens and closes that door of heaven anytime he wants. And he does. He opened it for Enoch. He opened it for Elijah. He can do whatever he wants. He can take it. He opened it up there in Matthew when some of those graves, they arose. Nothing's hard for him. Well, he's got a time it's going to open pretty soon. And I believe by the grace of God, the next time it opens, it's going to be for her. All right? So this is what he's getting at. Be ready. Be willing to endure. The ones who have willingly accepted the trials and have long patience in them, looking to the author and finisher of their faith, they understand it must be this way for the crown. It can't be any other way in these like things. Brother Paul there, God willing, I believe we'll be here in Philippians on Sunday in this same passage. But I love this. I'll even quote it right now for you. "For unto you it is given," it's a gift,
Not a requirement, it's a gift. In the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. This is Brother Paul, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. It shouldn't surprise you. It doesn't catch us unawares. We don't think it's strange. It's a gift. It's an honor. Praise the Lord. All right. But see, God wants us to be honest with Him. God wants us to be honest with ourselves too. He wants us to be healed from all things. And we're going to read about that healing here in a minute. But it all begins, brothers and sisters, with us quit acting like children. And spoiled children at that. Or maybe even puffed up turkeys just waiting for their head to be lopped off. God is crying out to be a man. And to be the man of God that He has made you to be. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, it is going to take for us to cry forth, as Nathan did to David, I am that man. I understand that, Lord. I am sorry. There is great repentance in my heart. No more deals, Lord. None. Search me. Get this wicked way out of me. This is what this is. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Brothers and sisters, we will never win Him till we fully break. We won't. A prideful heart, and see, that's what it is. A prideful heart, no matter how much it knows of the Word of God, is afar off from God. Get it done. Break. All right, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Let him. Isn't that wonderful? See, afflicted here means hardships and troubles. Same word that you'll see in 2 Timothy 2:3. Endure hardness as a good soldier. And in that it says, let him pray. And let me tell you something. You're in that when we are in that. We are afflicted. It's on every side if we really understand what's going on, and we better pray. Amen? I tell you what, praying makes me feel awful good. I don't know about you. I love to cry out to God. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength because the very power of God is resting upon me. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. God, continue to feed me. It is written. It is written. It is written. Let me stand on those promises. See, it goes on to say then, if any be merry, and merry here means of good courage or strong hope, let him sing psalms. Don't forget the thankfulness. Amen. A lot of times that happens, doesn't it? We get caught up sometimes in, yep, we're having this, and then we get caught up almost in a feeling where the true thankfulness of the heart left. But God is saying, sing the psalms. And we know the psalms, praise God, are praising God in song. And let's be quick to praise Him and not to praise ourselves, thinking that we're puffed up for some reason because I feel better than, you know, sister so-and-so. Oh, look how down they are. But I'm strong. God help us. God help us. See, what He's getting at here is whether it's a heartache or a heart that's soaring, we always need to be in communication with God. Amen. We always need to be thanking Him, to be thankful always in all things, for everything, every minute. See, that state by God's grace should never change. It's a state of thankfulness. I can have a sorrowful heart, but it's still thankful. I can have a soaring heart, but God, by your grace, let it still be thankful. Amen. And see, how is the only way that that's going to happen? By faith. By knowing the Word of God. I was talking to a sister earlier before I came in, and She has such a sweet love for this saint. And I hear it often. And they go through hard things and they go to meetings where, and I appreciate people that love the Lord, but, you know, they're going to fast and they're going to pray and they're going to do this. And I appreciate what Sister said. She says, have you ever read the Word of God? I mean, really read the Word of God? Do you know the Word of God? Well, no, not really. We don't do that very much. Where's your comfort going to come from? Faith. How do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing, not by fasting. It doesn't. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm not going to shake God out of something. I'm praying by the grace of God that if something's not right, if I'm not agreeing with something, Lord, help me agree with you. Help me to quit being so hard and stiff-necked. I'm stuck. And a lot of times it can be deceiving because you can think, and the world's telling you, oh, that's a good thing. You stay like that. Well, you stay like the world's going to tell you to stay. And let me tell you something. That whole group's going to move on into the promised land, and you're going to wax bones in the desert. It's the truth. We're here to preach the gospel of Christ. We're not ashamed of it. We're thankful to Him. But it's the Word of God. Praise His name. In spirit and in truth. His truth, speaking it in love. Isn't that awesome? How could you not speak this in love? Live it in love. Rejoice in it in love. See, that's the rightfully divided word, isn't it? See, when you start picking scriptures out to try to prove your point of hate, to try to pull a scripture out to prove your point of why I'm going to judge you. Well, I know right there you didn't rightfully divide the Word of God, because it's only going to be rightfully divided one way, and that's in love. And it is. You best know that. You can think that you turned it to your benefit, but all I can tell you is watch out, because there's a big hole you're about to fall in. And you're probably already in it. And you're just, well, I don't know. Maybe you're in the free fall and you don't know it yet. But that's what it is. So, let's go on here to 14 through 16. And notice, as we get into this, there's a slight but an awesome change in what happens here. So let's read this. So, well, let's go back and read 13 again. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him pray. Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith. Listen to that. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm so glad that I grew up cutting my teeth on that. Thanks the Lord that these ears have heard that, and this heart finally one day responded to that sweet truth. That, Lord, you made me righteous because you've been made righteous for me. Praise you, Jesus. And I can pray. And I can pray. And you can pray. And you can pray an effectual, fervent prayer that sings to His ear. That the Father and the Son rejoice and embrace and say, oh, Son, what the grace of God has done to the praise of His glory. Hallelujah. That's a real hallelujah. Now, this is vitally important, brothers and sisters, because God is transitioning us here from the power of faith to endure. That was Brother Job, to the power of faith to do. And we're going to see that in Brother Elias and things coming up here in a Well, maybe next week. But Brother Hill used to bring this out so sweetly. I was listening to a tape or two the other day, and I'm so thankful again for my dear pastor of all those years. But on the surface, we have such a beautiful thing here, healing. And thanks be to God, on the surface, it's such a precious surface. Healing goes on today. By His stripes, we are healed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, He is the great physician. But please note, brothers and sisters, really note this. It's not the title of an elder. And it's not the oil that I can go out there and get in the desk. No. It's the prayer of faith. Oh. Thank you, Lord. And only a righteous one can pray a prayer of faith. Do you know that? Anyone here righteous? Anyone here holy? Don't be ashamed of it. You were made that the moment you took Him as Savior. You're righteous and holy. Accepted, invited, embraced. Oh man, can I pray a prayer knowing how close I am to God? All because of how close He is to me. I love Him because He first loved me. Now, you are righteous because He's made it. He made that wonderful Son to be made righteousness for us. So let Him let you pray. Amen? Amen. And pray a lot. Actually, pray always. Continuing in prayer. Praying for everything. Believing Him. Amen. But brothers and sisters, you note here too that elders can have faith and righteous prayer warriors can have faith. But it's the sick that needs the faith. Praise God. It's the sick that needs the faith to be healed. It's the sick that calls for the elders. Do you see that? There has to be this quickening realization. And I'm talking again on the very surface of this sweet scripture. Any of you sick, whatever it may be, in your body, in your home, in your family, as we say, jobs, finance, whatever it may be, praise be to God, you need to call out. You need to call out in faith, believing. Somebody else's faith isn't going to get it done by the grace of God. No. You need to call out by God's grace. Know this. It's wonderful to be lifted up, but you see that this sick one called for the elders. But as I mentioned earlier, this is just touching the surface of what we really got here. And I pray that we're willing to go a little bit deeper in truth tonight. And the Holy Spirit's already called me there, so we're going. So I pray you go along. I believe the Lord is leading us there. In this glorious book of faith, this James, we've been given this wonderful opportunity to see. And without a doubt, brothers and sisters, there is much high calling doctrine in this wondrous book. I think it's been shelved way too long to say, well, and really it just has grieved my heart. And I've heard so many Christians say this over the years. Well, you know, Brother James is legal, but, you know, I guess God felt sorry for him, so I'd let him stuck a book in the Bible. You know, give me a break. What kind of nut and talk is that? I'm serious. It almost kind of gets to that. You know what I'm saying? Let's just say it what it was. Huh? It's all profitable. And there's some wonderful, wonderful profit in this for high calling, invitation into God's fellowship at His heights of glory. Not trying to make something what it isn't, it's just what it is. But in this chapter, brothers and sisters, we've already heard and read the call to be patient, and with the patience of the husbandman that is waiting for the latter rain fruit. Did you rejoice in that last week and the week before and the sermon that he gave us and maybe years before that? I hope you have. Because what else could it be, or what else is it in its ultimate than Christ Jesus and this age and this time that we live in, brothers and sisters, where he is going to come with a shout. And that fruit, that precious fruit, she's beautiful, she's ripe. It's time to go, honey. It's time to come away. Amen. So we're so thankful. And we heard last week, these are ones with established hearts. Hearts that aren't moved with every wind of doctrine. Not up one day and down the next. They're set for him. They're grounded in love. And they're grounded in love for all saints as well too. It's not just me and mine or us four and no more. Oh no. That's not a bride's heart. She loves the whole body as the head. She's rooting for herself as much as everyone else. Oh, let us finish with joy. Amen. This is the beauty that God has given us here. That we root out completely every root of bitterness. There's no grudging, is there? Not by God's grace. There's no division in her. There's not this sect of this and this. Her love is without hypocrisy. It's to all saints. That's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. What do you think? I believe it. Amen. And she is altogether lovely. She's wondrous to look at. And I'm looking at her tonight. Hallelujah. Not because you're somebody, but Christ in you is everything. And that's what it is. So, are any here sick? Are any here sick? Now come on. We're going deep. This means weak in faith. This means without strength. I'm talking about this word sick in our text here right now. This is verse 14. Feeble. How about lame feet that cannot run? Huh? Ye did run well, who hinders you? See, there's something about running, isn't there? There's something about beautiful feet in the Word of God, isn't there? You go into Ezekiel and praise the Lord, you'll see those four living ones, the flaming ones, hallelujah, on fire. The bridal ones, their feet are straight. They're not feeble. Oh no, they're powerful. They're full of the power of the gospel of Christ. Amen. And those steps, brothers and sisters, as Brother David received, are large steps. They're bold. See, a bride is bold. I saw a bold bride the other day. More bold than I think I've ever seen a bride. I mean, that young thing took off. She really wanted to be running down here. I know they made her kind of do this pacey thing. But I could see a sprint champion. If you really would have let her go, she would have ran. And he would have just been sitting here like this. I'm going to catch her. And she would have leaped from about that fourth pew and took off in the air in flight. And that would have been a marvelous thing to watch. I saw it in my heart. She's bold. She knew that he loved her. And she knew that he loved her as much as she loved him. But in this case, I know he loves me more than I could ever love him. Thank you, God. It is a miracle that has to take place, isn't it? It's a miracle, Lord, that you brought me to see this, to enlighten the eyes of my understanding, to know the hope of your calling for my life. He had to heal my feet. Yeah, because there's been times. It had to take place. The crooked feet had to be made straight. And I was so thankful
a dear sister, and it happens many times, and sometimes you brothers, I'll tell you, can be used too. But a dear sister sweetly reminded me back at that memorial service that we had this year. If you came to that, it was on a Sunday. It wasn't that we were celebrating Memorial Day. It was a Sunday on the Memorial Day weekend. But I was supposed to be gone that day. And Brother Ty was taking the meeting. But the Lord changed some things in my schedule and he had me be here. So here I showed up and it kind of rattled some. It was interesting. I didn't tell anybody I was going to show up. Just kind of did. I liked it. I think we'll have to do it again sometime. But it was sweet because it was like, well, what are we going to do now? You know, and it's funny, I kind of smile. Well, we're going to do exactly what the Lord had planned. Brother Ty, you're going to give that sweet message. And Brother David, you're going to give your sweet message. And everything's going to be right in the order that the Lord has it. It's going to be wonderful. But that day, or earlier in the week when I thought I was going to be gone, a couple saints had called in that really requested that they wanted to be prayed over. And I thought, how beautiful. You know, it doesn't matter who's here, whatever. God's here. And if you want to be prayed for, it, you know, if you're looking for a person to be here, you're in trouble. Okay? You need to look for the Lord. And he is always here when you're gathered in his name. It's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. And I was so thankful that they called in. And I called Brother Ty. And I said, now, Brother Ty, they're going to come in. So whenever the Lord encourages you to do it, just pray over them. So I remember Ty asking me that morning, we were back in the office. He says, well, when do you want to go ahead and pray for him? Because I was going to go ahead and do the prelims. And I looked at him and said, you know, brother, I don't know. The Lord hadn't told me yet. And it was okay. So went out there and kind of did the prelims that we have and how precious it is. I don't mean it in a sense in a small thing. That's a wonderful thing. It's all part of the glory of the service. But it was right after the choir sang, the Lord told me it's time. So I know it wasn't usual for that to be the time to pray over people. It usually was at the end of the service that God encourages us to have people come forward to pray over. But that was not his timing that day. He specifically said, this is the time. And that sweet sister I was talking to, she was bringing this to my remembrance. And she said, I got to testify something to you, give you a testimony. That service that day was this James you're going to be talking about right here. I saw it. I saw all of it played out. And it was so magnificent, that testimony that she gave, because it was an absolute confirmation by God's grace of the things that he was dealing with. You know how the Spirit does. It's wonderful. He gives you sufficient witness all over the place. And it's wonderful. The ministering of the saints is such a privilege. And it's such a precious, wonderful encouragement to a life. But I remember that the Lord used that time to set a few things straight. I didn't know I was coming back, but it was so precious because we were going to pray. But before we started praying, the Lord had me deal with this. There were some people that were starting to feel bad because as we would pray for people from time to time, that I didn't call them up by name to come pray with us. Can you imagine that I was just that rude and insensitive? And I didn't realize the greatness of your gift. God help us. God help us. So, the Lord encouraged me to call for the elders that day. And then the Lord encouraged my heart to make it known. It's the fervent and effectual prayer of the righteous. That's what we're looking for today. Now, he told me by his grace to call for these elders. But by God's grace, I said, now, shame on you if you feel that way, that you need to be called up special. Because if you have the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous, and God has encouraged you to pray over somebody, you should be joining this. So is there any out there that have an effectual, fervent prayer of faith that God has given you for this time? Well, I thank the Lord because about 2/3 of the assembly came up and got down here and were praying. And I was thankful to God. And how He did that and how He ministered, it's so perfect. But it was sweet to me because it was brought to my attention again with this sister, but even shortly after that, that it is amazing. People hear different things. And I said exactly that about for people that wanted to pray to come forth. But there were many that heard, if you want to be prayed for, come forth. So here we had different ones coming to be prayed for, but we had so many coming forth to say, God's encouraged my heart in faith because He hath made me righteous to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So that was just the first little part of it. So many things happen there, and I'll hurry along. But if you remember, and this brother comes every once in a while, he rides his bike, and he's had a lot of hardships. I'm sure some that he's brought on himself, just like a lot of us have. But I'm thankful that he loves the Lord, and his name's Paul. And that brother that day brought his cancer-riddled, stricken little wife. And as this group was praying here, and I didn't see this happen, but this sister was telling me how it worked. She said this man brought that lady that could barely walk. Her feet were so crooked and her legs were so weak. And that group that was praying parted as he walked through and walked through and walked up to the front to be prayed for. And I want us to read Acts 3:1-8 together. See, you can see why. This is going to take some time, brothers and sisters. But in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful." And that word beautiful, I'm so thankful, it means the right season. Timely, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And the beautiful thing of that, you can see the timing was perfect for them to pray, and the sister brought it out. You know, it might have alarmed some. What are we praying here for? We're supposed to pray afterwards. Well, these brothers were going into the temple to do their thing, and before they went in, they prayed with this person. So, you know what? Let's do it on God's timing. What do you think? Amen? All right. If something gets out of order to you, but we know the Spirit is in control, give it over. Give it over. All right. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. In verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have to give thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." See, he never expected to get that. But praise the Lord, here came faith. And he took him by the right hand. See, he reached out. Isn't that precious? Okay, there's your faith. Come on. I don't want to give you too many sermons here tonight. And lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Feet made straight. Weakened feet quickened. Praise God. And here's what this brother did. He didn't like try him out, did he? The first thing he did was he leaping up. He jumped. See, that's faith. No, I got to get in there a little bit. No. See, if you're going to be an ankle dweller and just, you know, kind of worry about the temperature, you're never going to enjoy it. You got to get in. Let it consume you. Let faith take over by God's grace. Try Him. Try Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. See, he went to the Word. Praise God. Walking and leaping. See, he couldn't stop. And praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. If you're Mary, sing psalms. Huh? Amen. See, it's all throughout the Word of God.
It's everywhere. We could go to other portions of Scripture as well, too. It's all there. And He's reminding us over and over. But brothers and sisters, His timing's always perfect. If He wants it after the choir, do it then. And more importantly, brothers and sisters, this is the season beautiful. This is the season beautiful. It's going on right now. It's called the latter rain. Hallelujah. It is going on right now. And we need to drink and come forth. But praise the Lord, this sister testifying to me, she went on, and how this just was such a confirmation to what the Lord was bringing in my heart. James, here we have sick, weak in faith. Maybe this brother or sister in the Lord been running well, but something happened. Maybe the root of bitterness took them down. Maybe pride. Yep, that hinders all right. But I'll get right to it. This word sick, I believe, in its maybe most magnificent meaning to us, is impotent, unfruitful. The bride is not impotent nor unfruitful. And brothers and sisters, she abounds with fruit, it pours out of her. And if we're sick, the fruit is not abounding in our life. And here it is, the prayer of faith to be healed. He will in no wise utterly cast you out. There is not a sin, there is not a depression, there is not a departure that will ever separate you from the love of God. There just isn't. And it's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to be healed. And we need the empowering of the Holy Ghost. That's this oil here. The love shed abroad needs to be shed abroad. It needs to be allowed by faith to take over. It casts out all fear. It casts out all guilt. It casts out all hesitation, reasons. See, love, even in the natural, it loses its mind, doesn't it? Love in the natural, well, I can get married when I'm 18. It don't matter. We're just going to live on love. But there's a type and a beautiful type in that. That love doesn't think about things. It only thinks about love. That's the beautiful thing about love. It just loves. It's the love that gives us power to abound in hope through any storm, to endure and do through any circumstance. It's the love that saves me every day. It's the love that causes me to rise up out of bed, leaping as this dear man, even when I sure didn't feel very good going down the night before. It's the love that'll have you ready to come away with him. The lost time, the sick time, is all past. That's what faith does. It forgets those things which are behind. And it sees that mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, doesn't it? God somehow just blocks everything out and love comes in. And all I see is that. Amen? It's just that. I've locked on. And God willing, Lord, we'll see how it all transpires. And it's going to be in the evidence, brothers and sisters, of a broken heart and a contrite spirit is going to receive the grace to come this way and to be restored back into the heights of the fellowship of Christ. Restore you to a heart that's ready to hear the shout. Amen. 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 Let's bow our heads and
Father, we thank you and praise you and give you the glory and just delight in your love for us. And thank you in that you delight in us. What a bunch of delight. Hallelujah. Thank you for people that love you. Thank you for, again, hearts that want to grow up into you in all things, Lord. Thank you for this precious word of your grace. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful. Help us to take the cup of salvation and drink. We give you the praise, honor, and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.